All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. All signal, no noise tonight. Talking about the signal controversy that's already really been solved, but the Democrats are trying to make it worse, and they've already filed a lawsuit. Believe it or not, I've got the details on that. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Alaska Man is up first, 1165. Granite 2468, Tim L. T-Bird, those Jesus people is on, D9597 is on, Neanderthal Soup is on, Judy Anita is on, Praise Holler's on, Todd Suff is on, Six Lens on, Robin Aroni is on, Big Jim Ago Blue is on, USA Abbey Girl is on, Gritterdom is on, John Phillips is on, Mark 1069 is on, Praise Holler's on, Scooter 8887 is on, Hans Lick Donovan is on, C Suff is on, Dave Souders is on, S Clark 1968 is on, Veronica 18201 is on, JD Wool is on, Leon Fish Puppy is on, Jules 21 Hours is on, Gucci Buckeye is on, Jayanna Jones is on, Vovo 960 is on, Gloyd Shaw is on, Auntie Mama 07 is on. Great to see some new names on here, as always. And I love all the people that are always on here, too. Patriot of the North is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. 11 Carl 11 is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. PJ Wiles is on. Keeper 1376 is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Let's see. Dave Souders is on. Malamute Lover is on. Charlie 340 is on. Sheila K is on. Conservative Waffles on. Peg McGroin. McGroin Nation is on. Green Rose Patriot is on. Let me see here. Missed anybody? TTTUS is on. Todd Suff is on. KJP Co. is on. Scrolling down. Daynow 59 is on. Let me see here. Scooting down. Just want to say hello to everybody. Uncle Wally is on. Bascom Avenue is on. Will Gilbert is on. Producer Aaron's on. Glad Will and Aaron are on. Oh, there we go. Popped in right at the bottom. Salty Gonads is on. And Aaron's wife is on. Naz Yeager's on. Deanna 91263 is on. And Goosey 600 is on. Love you guys. Oh, there's one. Bagel Boy is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right, so we have the signal controversy. Let me read this to you because I just pulled it off of Twitter right before the show because I was wondering, what is this lawsuit that's been filed? And I just lost it. Dadgum this freaking thing. I had it all set up. Dadgum it. Hold on. There we go right there. All right. Here's the lawsuit. U.S. District Court. And Aaron, can you guess? Who is the case assigned to? Uh-oh. Can anybody guess? Jeb Bosberg.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeb Bosberg. Jeb Bosberg. And there's numerous rulings now. Of course, Jeb Bosberg is the one who tried to turn around the deporting Jets. Sending Trende Agua members. Imagine that being something that moves you in life, something that motivates you in life, is that you want to turn around Trende Agua flights full of Trende Agua members heading down to the El Salvadorian prison, so they can deal with Bukele for the rest of their miserable lives. That's what motivates Jeb Bosberg. We got lots on him, but anyway, he was also the one, just so you know, who tried to keep the Hillary Clinton emails from being turned in. In 2016. That's Jeb Bosberg. And we're supposed to, as Republicans, just accept their rulings, because if you don't, you're a threat to democracy and a seditious conspiratorialist. So anyway, this lawsuit has now been filed. And this, I mean, what's this gone on for, like a day and a half? This just shows you how litigious the Democrats are and what their strategy is to use lawsuits to slow down Donald Trump or try to stop him. So notice of electronic filing in the U.S. District Court overseen by Jebby Bosberg, whose daughter gets paid by an NGO, whose wife gets paid by an NGO, and his daughter receives money by turning around those flights because his daughter is an illegal immigrant activist, so it benefits her NGO. And by the way, you and I pay for it all. So we're paying for Judge Bosberg to oppose us. Isn't that great? That's like having somebody pay to kick you in the nads.
True.
And let me just give you $20. Can you do it again? Boom. Thank you, sir. May I have another? So who filed this lawsuit? American Oversight. How much you want to bet they get NGO money? So we're not only paying the judge via NGO money to oppose us. I guarantee you American Oversight receives NGO money, whether it's first, second, or third tier money. They get it. So it's American Oversight versus Hegseth. Get this, Aaron. You're the tech guy. Mm-hmm. Hegseth has nothing to do with it.
Nope.
He was one of the accounts on the Signal chat.
Yep.
The one who ran the account was the NSA, Mike Waltz. That's it. It's got nothing to do with Hegseth. Yep. They're using this to go after Hegseth. It's got nothing to do with Hegseth at all. But anyway, so in all of 2 seconds, there's another lawsuit. And then again, American Oversight, I will bet you right now, this week's paycheck, that American Oversight is influenced and or run by Norm Eisen. How many? I mean, again, put the bets on the table. I guarantee. Oh, there we go. Alaska Man 1165. Norm Eisen is behind that. Correct. Alaska Man. These are the people you need to know. And so Schumer. Schumer is a gelding. They clipped his nuts a long time ago and sent him out to pasture. People running this country right now are the outside of Donald Trump. Yeah, are the Norm Eisens of the world trying to stop Donald Trump, because Democrats can't do it, but it's the Norm Eisens of the world and the Reid Hoffmans of the world that are trying to stop Donald Trump. You will find Reid Hoffman or Norm Eisen or Mark Elias behind every last thing that opposes Donald Trump. And sad thing is, you and I are paying for it via NGO money. I guarantee it. All right, here we go. Let's go and let's get right into this now. Someone wrote something here to me. Scooter 887, Pastor Tom, must have been with Moses on Mount Sinai when God saw. I can't read the rest of it. But anyway, appreciate you guys. All right, so May's video. So here's our guy. Here's Jeffrey Goldberg. It's very confusing when you deal with like Jonah Goldberg too, but this is Jeffrey. So Jonah Goldberg, I'm trying to remember which hoax he was a part of. Oh, he was the John Kelly hoax, where Donald Trump allegedly had this admiration for Nazi generals. That was Jonah Goldberg's hoax. Do I believe Jonah Goldberg also might write for The Atlantic too, but don't hold me to that. So anyway, so May's video, what a difference a day makes for Jeffrey Goldberg. Sharing that kind, this is what he said yesterday. Now remember, this is a man of integrity who has now released what he calls classified, even though it's not information. He's now released it into The Atlantic, but I mean, in The Atlantic magazine is what I'm talking about. Share, or whatever publication, whatever you want to call it. This is what Goldberg said yesterday, 24 hours ago, sharing that kind of information, because he's full of virtue. Remember that, he's full of virtue. In public, could endanger American military personnel. One day later, let the citizens of America just look. Play for me, Will.
I didn't publish this, and I continue not to publish it because it felt like it was too confidential, too technical. And I worry, honestly, that sharing that kind of information in public could endanger American military personnel.
At a certain point, you have to let the citizens of America just look and understand what's going on.
Oh, so 24 hours? So 24 hours ago, it's too dangerous to let anybody see it. And then 24 hours later, everybody can see it. Right? I mean, this is the Democratic Party. Allegedly, he thinks you're so concerned about an endangering American military personnel, because he really cares about American military personnel. He's the guy who wants women with sewed on penises to charge the front lines. And he cares about American personnel. He wants men with lopped off penises and inverted vaginas to be charged in the front line. I always wonder with these people, who do you think's going to defend you? Who do you think's going to maintenance the actual borders that you don't want to exist here in the United States of America? Who's going to keep China out? And you're Russia. Who's going to keep Russia out? Your transgender soldiers? I mean, I wonder, just on a self-preservation level, do you guys ever think like this? On a self-preservation level, how do you, if you turn America into you, then who's going to defend your ability to be you? Because you're going to need these people like Will over here fought in wars who are the antithesis of you to defend you and give you the right to be as ridiculous as you are. You don't have that right in other countries. Try being transgender in downtown Gaza. Try being transgender in downtown Beijing. They all love China, allegedly. The NBA loves everybody who's transgender, but yet, if you can't, you're not even lawfully allowed to be transgender in China. They never actually live up to their ideals. All right, let's go through this now. This might be a little wonky. I don't know, but I've got to show it to you. This was released by Jeffrey Goldberg today. Two too dangerous to release 24 hours ago, but it's just like COVID. You could walk into a restaurant, and you had to walk into a restaurant with a mask on. Not that I ever comply with any of that crap. But anyway, walk into a restaurant with a mask on, and when you sat down, you could take it off, and everybody's safe. So that's the same ideology here. So you have Jeff Goldberg said, Goldberg said yesterday, too dangerous to release. Today, perfectly fine. Now, remember, he received this information almost 2 weeks ago. So what about day two? Was it too dangerous then? 2 days after tech, 3 days after tech, 4 days after? But day 10-ish, right before the hearing, you let it out. But even then, you were saying it was too dangerous to release to the public, because if you release it to the public prior to the hearing, then the hearing doesn't have the impact you want it to have. It's all just political gamesmanship, which has done our country so well, $37 trillion in debt. All right, so here's Sean Farris with the best Trump impersonator out there, but also pretty good, I mean, really good political commentator. Follow him on Twitter. Full signal text chain has been released. There's nothing in it but the pros and cons of striking now versus waiting a month. Oh, I thought this was battle plans. I thought it was battle plans. I thought this was top. By the way, just so everybody knows, not one bit of this is classified. It's not even classified. It's not highly compartmented classification. You don't need to go to a SCIF to see it. Is it something that you want to be out in the public? No, but it's not classified on any level.
Right.
It's not top secret. It's nothing. It's like if I have conversations with Will and Aaron, I don't necessarily want everybody in the world to hear, but it certainly isn't classified. Right. That's what this was. There's nothing in it. It's not war plans. It's not classified information. It's a conversation, and nice to see cabinet members who aren't idiots, I added that in, and staffers hashing out the best way to move forward. I also love that J.D. Vance cannot stand Europe, a little side benefit, and that's great that he can't because nobody should. All right, go to the next one. Let's just go through this. I'll do it quickly. So here's how it was. This is right from Jeffrey Goldberg's phone. It's right from his device, right here. This is what he put out into the Atlantic today. This is what he put out so that everybody can see it. This is the first thing that he saw. Aaron, and you correct me if I'm wrong on any tech stuff,
yep.
Just jump in.
Okay.
Even if I forget the verbiage, like I call it a thread, but it's really a text chain or something like that. I'm just sticking with thread.
Yeah.
All right, works. So everybody knows. So Houthi PC small group, this popped up on Jeffrey Goldberg's phone because he was invited by Mike Waltz.
Yep.
Current NSA, National Security Advisor. You're like, how did that happen? We'll get into that too. You guys, I'm just warning you, I don't know if I'm going to get past the whole. I don't know if I'm getting past signal tonight. I don't know. So anyway, I'm trying, guys. I got stuff on Doge, everything else, but this is a deep dive here. Not just on this stuff. I got stuff. CISA's involved. NPR is involved. Just wait. So anyway, so this is what pops up on Jeffrey Goldberg's phone. Mike Waltz added you to a group. Aaron, could he have turned it down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he could have turned it down.
Yeah.
Did he? Oh, I thought it was all so dangerous. He allegedly really cares. I'm just going to keep using you, Will. Will fought in a war. So as a Marine. So he cares so much about the wills of the world that he wouldn't release the information, but he was perfectly fine screenshotting all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't all your screenshots go to a cloud?
Yeah.
All right, because he doesn't have a government system, so his stuff's going to the same cloud as Aaron's in mine.
Yep.
So which can be taken. So he thinks this is highly compartmented classified information, SCIF style information. He just screenshots it anyway. Would you? If it was me, I go delete, freaking delete.
Get out of here!
I don't want to be in that thing. Next thing you know, I'm going to be hanging from the tree by my nads. I don't. No. No. Thank you. I'm out. Delete. Delete.
Yeah.
I want to be on this thing. I don't care if it was Trump on there. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'll just call and report it. Maybe that would be a way I could say hi to Trump. I'm reporting it. That's it. I don't want to be on the freaking thing. So it says Mike Waltz, NSA, has added you to a group. All right, so let's go to the next one. Well, so here we go. We're going right down, Aaron. I'm going to need you to blow these bad boys up. I can maybe make them out, but just blow them up as I go. All I need is the top portion, if you can give me the top on each one, just so we can understand. Right there is good. So there you have. Here's Michael Waltz. So anyway, this is what he is seeing now in the thread in order right here. Mike Waltz, team establishing a principals group for coordination on Houthis, particularly over the next 72 hours. Is that real specific, Aaron?
No.
No. How about you, Will?
No.
Next 72 hours, an enemy force, are you going to have any clue what they're talking about? There's no dates, no times, no locations, no grids, nothing. My deputy, Alex Wong, is pulling together a tiger team at deputy's agency chief of staff level, following up from the meeting in the sit room, situation room, this morning for action items, and we'll be sending that out later this evening. Please provide the best staff POC from your team for us to coordinate with over the next couple days over the week. Wow, that's, I mean, battle plans. According to Jeffrey Goldberg, the suckers and losers hoaxer, the collusion hoaxer, this is battle plans. Look at the responses. Mike Needham for state, Andy Baker for VP, Joe Kent for DNI. They're just responding. This is a coordination text message, basically, under Signal. Signal is basically text messaging that's encrypted. Mm-hmm. That's it. And obviously not that well encrypted because, by the way, they've had lots of problems, which we'll get into in just a second. Go to the next one for me, Will. All right, so here we go. Blow it up for me, Aaron, as quick as you can every time. So, and then scoots you down. Perfect right there. Team, you should have a statement of conclusions with taxing. I won't read every last word on these things, just so you know, so don't get too bored too fast and leave. But anyway, team, this is what all the hullabaloo is about. This is it. The earth is falling. The sky is falling over this. I mean, screw the 13 people killed at the Abbey Gate that we could have killed, that we could have stopped because we knew it was coming 12 hours in advance. There's a problem. Americans actually died, but none of these people that are outraged by this, outraged, had no concern at all about 13 American soldiers dead at the Abbey Gate. And a lot more Iraqis dead at the Abbey Gate. They didn't even care. I played the videos today. They didn't care about the C-130s flying off with people on their wheels on their landing equipment until the landing equipment was retracted and they all fall 700 feet from the sky. Aaron, do you hear any outrage from Democrats on that? I didn't hear one thing. Nope. Not one freaking word from anybody. Nope. Not Bernie Sanders or any other alleged liberal. Not a one.
No.
They don't care. What they care about is Mike Waltz accidentally, I hope,
yeah,
invited Jeffrey Goldberg into this group. Or was it Wong, his assistant? That invited him in. I don't know yet. He refused to throw a staffer under the bus. That's what they're all concerned about. Not one American died. Nothing. No outrage at all about $86 million worth of high-tech military equipment. Including, you're talking about highly up-armored helicopters left on the ground. $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment left and ammo left on the ground. No, where was all the outrage? You deserved dessert. Bagram Air Force Base was 400 miles from the Chinese border. It basically a base that cannot be invaded. I mean, the base of all bases. And Trump said on the record, I would have kept Bagram. But they didn't. They just left. J.D. Vance says, team, I'm out for the day doing an economic event. Oh, hey, what? This is war plans. How can he be out for the day if it's war plans, Will? But I think we're making a mistake. See, now they're going to work it out. 3% of U.S. trade runs through the Suez. 40% of the European trade does. This is a real risk that the public doesn't understand this or why. I thought this was war plans. This sounds like a war plan to you. War plan is not this. War plans are grid, exact location. I mean, you're talking about exact location. Here you have J.D. Vance basically arguing with the group about this isn't the plan that we want. I thought it was a war plan, Jeffrey. Little Jeffrey. The strongest reason to do this, as POTUS said, to send a message. Let's go to the next one, guys. I told you I won't read every last bit of it. So here's some more. All right, so here's Joe Kent. There is nothing time sensitive driving the timeline. We'll have the exact same options in a month. What? I thought this is war plans. This is the same exact ideology of trying to seize classified documents at Mar-a-Lago because Trump's going to sell them to the Russians. It's all a bunch of purposely hyperbolic dribble. That's all that it is, ginned up by Jeffrey Goldberg, who is a CIA Mossad operative, and everybody knows it. And that's what The Atlantic is, run by Steve Jobs' widow. All about, who are, by the way, covered up for Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein with their article, Global Child Sex Trafficking is a Myth. Yeah. That's the article name. You know, does anybody actually believe that global child sex trafficking is a myth? We have 400,000 missing kids from our southern border in the last 4 years, 100,000 per year missing into the freaking wind. And people think that, but this is the people writing this article right now. And then again, I have to throw all this in. Christians, the next time they come to you, maybe you're a Christian watcher on Christian Television Network in Southwest Florida right now, running from Naples all the way to Sarasota. Next time these people come to you and tell you to put a mask on and close your churches, are you going to think twice about it? Maybe you've never repented because most Christians haven't. But maybe you're going. Maybe you won't listen to these idiots next time. All right, well, let's go to the next one, wherever I'm at. Oh, there we go. But we can easily pause. There we go. Now, Michael Waltz, the trade figures we have. I thought, and you're like, Tom, you're being redundant. I know. I'm reiterating for a purpose. Correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron. Does this sound like war plans to you?
No.
Like strike here, strike there. Here's the grid. Here's the exact coordinates. That's how it actually works. Pete Hegseth and Will, they fought in wars. That's how it actually works. You don't come to the artillery guy like Will and say, hey, the trade figures, Will. No, Will wants to know, tell me exactly where to shoot this thing. Because it kills everybody in a 20-yard radius. They don't, there's not the trade figures. War plans, the trade figures? We have our, see, what always happens with me is once I discover how stupid it is, I just get madder and madder.
Yep.
Is that COVID? I mean, every single month of 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve, I got madder and madder and madder. And it was funny today. I should have put it on the podcast. Trump got on a lady in the press, and he goes, Trump does press gaggles every single day. Basically, there's a press conference every single day. Well, everything he does, there's a bunch of press people every day. He talks to them every single day, every day. Probably 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 times a day he's talking to press people. And he said today, oh, you had to one of the obviously leftard, moronic leftists from whatever leftard media outlet that they're part of. He goes, oh, you have a mask on. You know, that makes you feel safer. It's nice to see a mask. Whenever Trump does that, okay, that's different than me. When Trump is a charming businessman who's trying to not burn the bridge to the ground, with me, I just burn it now. Because I would have been like, what the freak are you doing in my office? Oh, no, it's America's office, Oval Office, but not currently occupied by President Trump. What are you doing in my office with that freaking mask on? Get out of here. But what he was doing was the same exact thing he did to Volodymyr Zelensky when he pulled up and made fun of Volodymyr Zelensky's clothes by saying, oh, you dressed up today. Yeah. And Volodymyr Zelensky's not getting that if you talk to people who know Trump, like Alex Jones knows him personally, Bannon who knows him personally, he's belittling the person by complimenting them. Because he said to the woman, oh, so it makes you feel safe. It's good to see a mask again. So it makes you feel safer, right? Good, 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 good. What he's doing is belittling you without even being sarcastic. With me, it would be very sarcastic and or just screaming. Yeah. One of those two. So here's the war plans that Jeffrey Goldberg said were just too tenuous to release. The trade figures. That's the war plans. Where are the bombs, man? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where is it? Where's the bombs? Where's the grids? Where's the coordinates? Where's the weaponry? Where's the blast radiuses? Where is it exactly? Where's the collateral damage estimates? I don't see any of it. What I see is trade figures we have from the NSA are 15% of global and 30% of container. It's difficult to break that down in U.S. specific because much, and this would be so exciting to see in a war movie, wouldn't it? This would just sell tickets. This is a war movie. Wouldn't it? This would just sell tickets. Everyone would be bored out of their mind. U.S. specific, because much of the container either going through the Red Sea, still or around the Cape, or Good Hope, our components going to Europe, that turns, wow, that's what we're so scared of, that's what it's all about. This is what the Democrats are clucking like chickens about. All right, go to the next one for me. It should be J.D. Vance, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, go to the next one for me.
It's up now.
Oh, that's the one I just read. I just read that one. There we go, J.D. Vance. All right, at Pete Hegseth, if you think we should do it, let's go. I just hate bailing. You're about again. This is great, but this is certainly not war plans. Let's just make sure our messaging is tight here. And if there are things we can do up front, this is a little bit of an upgrade on Kamala Harris. Would everybody agree? Mm-hmm. Kamala, what would you do to ensure peace in Gaza? Well, I was raised in a middle-class house where everybody cared about their yards. Okay, thanks. Have a good day. Go back to your vodka. Let's just make sure our messaging is tight here. And if there are things we can do up front to minimize risk to Saudi oil facilities, we should do it. Pete Hegseth, VP, I fully share your loathing of European freeloading. It's pathetic. This is war. Listen, this is highly entertaining, but it's certainly not war plans. Certainly not. So all the clucking that you're seeing, all the ranting and raving and virtue signaling about how they care about the troops, the truth they denigrate with their transgenderism and their woke ideologies. They're getting American soldiers killed by doing it. Not only denigrating that, but sending all of our assets over to Ukraine. So we don't even have any, they all want to fight in a war. We don't even have ammunition to fight in a war. It's all over in Ukraine. All right, go to the next one for me. Next one should be Pete. There you go. Team update. Now, this is what they get more upset about than anything is this part. Team now, 1144. Weather is favorable. Just confirmed with CENTCOM. We are a go for mission launch. When's that? 1215, F-18's launch, first strike package. Nobody knows where. 1345, trigger-based F-18 first strike. Window starts. Target terrorist is at his known location. They name the target terrorist? No. That's why it's not classified. Also, strike drones launch, MQ-9s, 1410, which is 210 in the afternoon. More F-18s launch, second strike package. Oh, that's great, Aaron. Thank you. Perfect. 1415, strike drones on target. This when the first bombs will definitely drop, pending earlier trigger-based targets. Just sounds like a person who actually knows what he's talking about, though. By the way, he does not know that Jeffrey Goldberg is on here. The only person that could potentially know who's on here is Mike Waltz, the NSA. He's the only one that could know. More to follow. We are currently clean on OPSEC. Godspeed to our soldiers. Go to the next one for me. This should be the last one. Blow that up, Aaron, if you can. Anybody to blow that up?
Yeah, no, it is. We're having technical glitches here.
I'm hearing funky sounds.
There we go.
You hear that funky sound?
No.
But anyway, you don't hear that clicking? Right there? All right, but anyway, sorry for those of you watching. You're no. Like, Tom, why don't you hash these things out afterwards? I can't. Okay, I can't. If it bores you, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, Mike Waltz, VP building collapse, had multiple positive ID, Pete Carrillo, the IC, amazing job. J.D. Vance, what? Typing too fast. The first target, their top missile guy. We had positive ID of him walking into his girlfriend's building, and now it's collapsed. Excellent. Nobody has any idea where this is actually occurring, though. Good job, Pete, and your team. The team, perfect mission. Nothing happened. No Americans died, but we're all going to pretend like Americans died. So it gives us an attack on Donald Trump. That's what Democrats are saying. Great work to all. Powerful start. Mike Waltz, NSA. The team is Mal. Did a great job as well. CENTCOM, Pete Hegg says CENTCOM is on point. Great job, all. Susie Wiles, kudos to all. White House Chief of Staff, most particularly those in theater and CENTCOM, really great. God bless. There you go. That's the entire thing. And that's what everybody's so hyperbolic about. Now, should it be out? No. It shouldn't have gotten out. It's certainly not one thing in there that's classified. Not one. There's no date, no time, no location, no target IDs, no names, nothing. Does anybody to this day have any idea where that happened? Not one Democrat can name where it happened. So it certainly was kept secret, was it not? Everything that was classified remained classified. So here's Pete Hegseth explaining it one more time for the dimwits in the media. Play it for me.
Nobody's texting war plans. Well, I noticed this morning out came something that doesn't look like war plans. And as a matter of fact, they even changed the title to attack plans because they know it's not war plans. There's no units, no locations, no routes, no flight paths, no sources, no methods, no classified information. You know who sees war plans? I see them every single day. I looked at them this morning. I looked at attack plans this morning. You know who does attack plans and war plans? Men like that admiral right there, Paparo, for the Indo-Pacific, or Eric Carrillo, our general in CENTCOM. They do attack plans and war plans. And thank God we have those leaders who do it and do it well, and our enemies know it. My job, as it said atop of that, everybody's seen it now, team update is to provide updates in real time, general updates in real time, keep everybody informed. That's what I did. That's my job. The war fighters will take the fight to the enemy, and I love what they do. And with President Trump's leadership, our enemies are on notice. We will have peace through strength, and we'll keep putting our troops first.
Thank you very much.
We're heading off
strike plans
to the
before
red.
They launched.
And you hear the media. The people knew about the strike plans before it was launched. So what? Nothing happened. All right, it's over. Was it a mistake? Yes. Mike Waltz made a mistake, or his chief of staff, Chong, made a mistake. One of the two made a mistake. Yes, it's over. Nobody died. Where that same reporter just yelled out to Pete Hegseth, those plans were released to a member of the media prior to the attack. That's true. But why was she not upset when the 13 Americans died? Why was she? How about the drone strikes? The various retributive drone strikes by the Biden administration for what happened at Abbey Gate, where they killed a family of 10, eight of which were children, when the guy was carrying water to this house. Why was she barking out questions then? Yes, I mean barking. Why was she not barking out like a dog? Why wasn't she barking out questions then? None of these people that are so upset now, whether the media or Democratic Party politicians, not one of them said one thing that they never called for Lloyd Austin to be fired, White Rage Millie to be fired, CENTCOM Commander McKenzie to be fired, VP Harris to be fired, Joe Biden to be fired. None of them. They didn't call. Then Americans actually did die. And what's worse then is they knew the Abbey Gate bomber was coming. Austin knew, Millie knew, McKenzie knew 12 hours in advance. And then, and I've got this guy on tonight, the sniper that actually had him in his sights, and they refused to let him shoot, got his arm and leg blown off, which I did not know till today. All that. Where was their outrage? Where's the outrage? And where was the outrage about Joe? I didn't see one of these people outraged about Joe Biden looking at his clock as they're unloading the dead American bodies off the C-130. Did anybody, Aaron, did you ever see any outrage by any of these people? I'm wondering. I mean, I'm just curious. Where was all the outrage by Dan Goldman when Joe Biden, they're unloading American bodies, dead soldiers, average age of 21, off of the C-130, and Joe Biden's looking at his watch. Where's the outrage? And to this day, Joe Biden has never met with one of those families outside of that very first thing where his behavior was so repulsive that the family spoke out against him. You know, families never speak out against a president who meets with them after their loved ones are killed in a war. Never. But his behavior was so repugnant that they actually complained about how horrible his behavior was in that meeting after he looked at his watch. And they all saw him look at his watch. They're all standing right there. And the idiots staring, where's all this outrage? Again, everything they do, all their alleged virtue is for their own self and political aggrandizement. That's it. So here's what Mike Waltz put out. And by the way, this is the correct stance. Someone told me today, you know what? One of these people should go down. And I'm hearing like Dave Portnoy point that out. Like he actually is calling for Mike Waltz to be fired. Dave, no. You just don't get it, dude. My dog, he's a pig killer, all right? Once he killed his first pig, I can't stop him from killing pigs. All right, so I mean, I have to keep him tied up all the time because he goes out and kills pigs because now he tasted it. So you can't keep him from killing pigs. I'm talking, he's got a Malinois. He's about 80-pound Malinois and can run like the wind. They can't get away. He kills pigs. That's what he does. That's his life. Once he tasted it, now I can't get him off of the freaking pigs. He's four. He didn't care about pigs for 3 years. Now that's his entire life is pigs. That's how, it's perfect too with dogs and pigs. Because if you feed the Democratic propaganda machine, the Democratic bloodlust machine, Mike Waltz. And even if he screwed up, you're going to have to do something else with him right now. Even if he is in contact with Goldberg, which I'm not sure he's not, okay? Or Chong, his chief of staff. And people, you can call me a racist all you want. It's just weird how there's Chinese everywhere, okay? It's just kind of weird. You go up to key spots in Canada, Chinese are holding those positions. Kind of weird, isn't it? How that all works. But anyway, I digress. So you cannot offer up a sacrificial lamb. Nobody. Pete Hegseth certainly shouldn't be offered up. But even Waltz can't be offered up right now. Because if you feed them, Waltz, they're not going to go, our rage has been assuaged. Their rage does not come from righteous motives. It comes from greedy little self-promotion motives. That's all that it's about. Little political motives. It's politically expedient motives. Those can never be satiated when you give them a sacrificial lamb. You can't. Mike Waltz cannot be fired right now. So Republicans that are calling for that, or even centrists like Dave Portnoy, stop. All they're going to do is then try to work their way up through the cabinet. It's not going to satiate them. You never, you're like, oh, Tom, this doesn't seem very Christian. No, this is politics, not Christianity. My Christianity governs my politics, but here's the thing. I'm never apologizing for anything. If I was a politician, you can't. Once you do that, it's like people wanted Elon Musk to come out and speak about when he did the whole thing at the crowd and all that stuff, give his heart to the crowd. And by the way, they're free. We got Jasmine Crockett right there at the Sig Heil. I mean, it looks just like, that's great. Everyone put it all over the place. Because all you do is catch people. They did it to Joe Rogan. You'll see that in the post game. Joe Rogan at every UFC weigh-in does the announcements at the weigh-in. There's 10,000 people there. And he always waves to the crowd. Hey, everybody. They put him out too. They put Joe Rogan out as a Nazi doing the Sig Heil. But this is the response. You never apologize. You can't. It doesn't help. It helps to apologize to your wife or to your husband, not to a Democratic Party politician or a Democratic Party pundit, which the entire mainstream media is. So you do what Mike Waltz said. No location, no sources or methods, no war plans. You don't back up. You move forward. You move forward because it's the truth. You move forward in the truth. Whether they consider the truth to be palatable or not, you move forward with the truth. Foreign partners had already been notified that the strikes were imminent. Bottom line, President Trump is protecting America and our interests. That's all you give them. You give it to them over and over and over again. And then what you do is you make another bold political move and they're going to forget about this one. That's what you do. Keep them moving. Keep it moving all the time. Cancel. Trump should come out today and cancel another governmental department. He should cancel another agency. Find another DOE and cancel it. That's what he should do. And get the, you know what he should do? Tell everybody he's working on plans to cancel the IRS. If he does that, if he cancels the IRS, he just tells them that he is. I'm not saying lying because you do what you're, but if he is, it's even in remotely in the works, put that out there. That I'm working right now on getting rid of the IRS and everybody will forget about this one. All right, let's go to the next one. Will, where am I at? JD Vance tweet. It's very clear Goldberg oversold what he had, but one thing in particular really stands out. Remember when he was attacking Ratcliffe, John Ratcliffe, over the CIA for blowing the cover? He was all over him. He blew the cover of this CIA operative. That's what Goldberg was all about, for blowing the cover for a CIA agent. Turns out Ratcliffe was simply naming his chief of staff as a public figure. Goldberg's out another hoax. John Ratcliffe just revealed, and this was something that they accused Trump of doing too, of revealing CIA staffers. No. And this is, they do the same thing over and over again. It's the same exact playbook over and over again. They're not intelligent. They're just zealous. So Goldberg comes out. He revealed the identity of a CIA agent. He's a public figure. He's my chief of staff. Be like revealing Pete Hegseth. Oh my gosh, you just revealed your Secretary of Defense. Yeah, that's what we do. You just named Susan Wiles. You just revealed her. Yeah, that's our chief of staff in the White House. And you look at Tyler Budowich at the bottom. The Atlantic has already abandoned their bleep war plans narrative. And in releasing the full chat, they concede they lied to perpetuate yet another hoax on the American people. What scumbags? Go to the next one for me. Well, here's their headline right here. Here are the attack plans. That's a real downgrade from war plans. Real downgrade from war plans. That Trump, look at the writer on the bottom. There's Jeffrey, collusion hoaxer, suckers and losers hoaxer, and other hoax too. I had a list of them last night. Let's go to the next one. Greg Price video. So let's go to the congressional hearings with this idiot, this Democrat named Jimmy Gomez, who's about as dumb as a box of rocks. Here's Jimmy Gomez. Was Pete Hegseth drunk while planning the attack? This was actually asked from the congressional floor today. Play it for me.
To your knowledge, do you know whether Pete Hegseth had been drinking before he leaked classified information?
I don't have any knowledge of Secretary Hegseth's personal habits.
Director Ratcliffe, same question. Yes or no?
You know, no, I'm going to answer that. I think that's an offensive line of questioning. The answer is no. I find it interesting that you
hey,
want to...
Hey,
No, I'm going to answer.
Time.
You asked me a question. You
director.
Want an answer?
No, listen,
you don't
want to
focus
no.
on the good work that the CIA is doing, that
no.
the intelligence community...
Director, I reclaim my time. Director, I reclaim my time. Here, I have huge respect for the CIA, huge respect for our men and women in uniform. But this was a question that's on the top of minds of every American, right? He stood in front of a podium in Europe holding a drink. So, of course, we want to know if his performance is compromised. If people were asking if the General Austin was compromised because of a heart issue...
Was his performance compromised because of a successful strike?
Mr. I bring my...
You want to know? You want to talk about accepting responsibility? Do you think you should accept responsibility for a successful strike to make Americans safer? You
want
to focus on...
Reclaim my time. Aaron, did you host that one for me that I asked you to? Were you able to host that? This is how you treat members of Congress who are Democrats. Cash Patel, he is the professor. Play for me.
Another day has passed.
Actually, it was the night before the hearing.
Now that another day has passed, do you believe that it's now time potentially for the FBI to open an investigation into this?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Because you're the director of the FBI, you don't believe it's appropriate to comment on that?
Because there's a process in place, there's an ongoing litigation, and the National Security Council is reviewing this matter. And I'm not going to discuss any open or closed investigations.
That ongoing investigation, literally, the lawsuit happened today or yesterday afternoon, and the idea that you don't have an opinion on this at this point is frustrating to me.
No, it's not. I'm not going to prejudge any matters, and the men and women of the FBI will call the balls and strikes.
Reclaiming my time,
not you.
Sir, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have...
Gentlewoman's recognized. You have 4 seconds remaining.
No, I have more than
you
that.
Have 2 seconds
Mr.
remaining.
Patel would not add...
Gentlewoman's time has expired. Mr. Stubbe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director.
That is how you treat people. Both whoever was running that hearing, which I don't know who it was, but it was great because she got up and she says, reclaiming my time. And the chairperson goes, you have 4 seconds left. Reclaiming my time. You have 2 seconds left. Reclaiming my time. Bump, you're done. That's how you deal with Democrats. Tom, that's not very civil. Don't care. I don't care. You ever dealt with a bunch of whack jobs in your life? I mean, there's a whole bunch of different lifestyles represented in the chat right now. Have you ever dealt with whack jobs like I have? Whether and by the way, church is way worse than police work.
True.
Way worse. Way worse. I'm telling you, 25 years as a cop, 20 something years as a pastor. I'm telling you, police work's 1,000 times easier. 1,000 times easier. And dealing with whack jobs, then just hook them up and put them either in the nut house or the jail. Done. Church people, yeah, live with them. Day in, day out, baby. I got to live with Will every day. I'm just kidding. Will's great. But anyway, no, I mean, that's what you do. I quoted this verse last night, Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Tom, that's not Christ-like. That's Jesus talking. How's it not Christ-like when it's Christ saying it? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. What is he talking about? Scraps from the table? No. What he's talking about is he's talking about don't give like effort, don't give your time, don't give your precious time, don't give your love or even your like to people who aren't worthy of it. Yeah, you can't hurt him, you can't get physical with him, you can't do those things except in self-defense, and you don't take vengeance against them and things like that, but you certainly don't need to be nice to them. And I don't mean like rude or arrogant or nasty, I'm just dismissive. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. That's what you do. Hey, the next verse is awesome. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and unto him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's Matthew 7:6, 7:7, and 7:8. 7:5 is thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So all you gotta do is go with what the word says. I'm not gonna be sweet and charming to that baby butchering monster that's sitting there. I reclaim my time. I reclaim my time. You know, it's just shove your time up your own carcass. Lady, shove your time up your own caboose sideways. You know, that's exactly how you treat these people. Listen, it's dead of the wall serious. It's not just political gamesmanship like it was in the early 80s. That woman right there would put Cash Patel in jail for the rest of his life on false charges and sleep like a baby at night. That's how serious it is. Their bank tried to bankrupt Alex Jones. General tried to put General Flynn in prison, Stone in prison, Peter Navarro in prison, Bannon in prison, Trump in prison, and numerous others. So, I mean, give me, that's how these people need to be treated. Just let them, I reclaim my time. You got 4 seconds left. I reclaim it. You got 2 seconds left. I reclaim it. You're done. That's how you treat them. Let's go to Bossberg now. Libs a TikTok tweet. Lo and behold, what are the odds? What are the odds? That Bossberg, once again, he was in charge of the Hillary emails that he allowed her not to release. This guy right here. Okay. So did I give you, I'm afraid that I didn't. Did I give you the pic of Bossberg, his wife, and his daughter?
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
You want it? I do.
Yeah, I need that. So we'll go to that one next. I couldn't remember whether I gave you that or not. Thank you, guys. All right, so Libs with TikTok. Judge James Bossberg was just assigned the case. Remember that you're going to have the back and forth between the congresswoman and Cash Patel. You can't talk about it. You can't talk about that. The lawsuit was just filed yesterday. Yeah, you're throwing one lawsuit after another at us. So we just have to always assume we're under a lawsuit. And then when it was filed, doesn't matter. It's an ongoing litigation. Doesn't matter whether it was filed 10 seconds ago. Is it ongoing, you stupid idiot? Yes. So I'm not going to talk about it with you. Because anything that I say is going to be used against me in the trial. And this fair and unbiased guy is overseeing it. This fair and unbiased guy is going to determine what happened in the, if what happened in the Signal meeting was illegality or whatever it is, corruption or anything else. This guy's, and we can just have to trust him. Even though he's a Democratic Party activist who hates us, and we have to trust that he's a nonpartisan, unbiased man. We just have to trust that, or you're an insurrectionist. You're a seditious conspiratorialist. You're a threat to democracy if you don't just trust your political enemies to do what's right. So there is District of Columbia, notice of electric filing. The following transaction was entered on 326, blah, blah, blah. There's scarce American oversight versus Hegseth. Well, Hegseth's got nothing to do with the Signal chat. Nothing. Nothing to do with it at all. That would be the NSA, my national security advisor. That would be Mike Waltz, not Pete Hegseth. These people are so stupid, but Norm Eisen is a detestable human being. And just like Jenkins said on CNN, he's the most detestable person I've ever met. I mean, you say something like that. I mean, you swim in the swamp and you say the most detestable person I've ever met is Norm Eisen. I mean, that's like, again, like I said last night, I'll try to maybe think of a better example. You're the most repulsive parasite in the pond. Last night you were the smelliest turd in the cesspool. That's who Norm Eisen is. Let's go to the next one for me, Will. So here's Bossberg. What's he motivated by? Well, his wife, Liddy, strike one. Liddy Manson. So she, again, this is the, you know, I'll just say strike one, her name's Liddy. Strike two, if she has a nose ring. Strike three, she doesn't change her name to yours.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Liddy Manson, and that's appropriate. Her last name is Manson, is the founder of an abortion NGO. What a surprise. Get ready now. Indirectly funded by USAID and George Soros. So no wonder her husband wants to defend USAID and Soros because he's getting paid. Because if his wife's getting paid, he's getting paid. And what about his daughter, Catherine Bossberg? Works for a 501c3 called Partners for Justice that gives criminal, illegal aliens and gang members legal advice. So if he turns around the Tren de Aragua flights, his daughter gets paid. But you and I and Will and Aaron and the 833 people that are watching right now that I can see and everybody that's watching on Christian Television Network right now, we're just supposed to trust the bald guy. That he's unbiased, even though he profits off of a certain outcome, which would be everything antithetical to Donald Trump. All right, let's go to the next one. Paul Sperry's tweet. New, though, Mike Waltz. Okay, now here I'm attacking Waltz, okay, if you want to call it that. I'm not attacking Waltz. I don't know what the deal is. Aaron, do we trust anybody?
No.
No. So, no, I'm not trusting squad.
Heck no.
Okay, I'm not trusting any of these. I don't care what they sound like, look like. Everybody's betrayed us. All right, so... I don't trust any of them. Go ahead.
Well, what we talked about last night, he was the only admin on that chat.
Correct.
So.
Okay, now Aaron had to explain it to me last night because I don't know how tech works. So we thought maybe, because it ended up 19 total people on it, mm-hmm. and it turned out he is the sole admin. Yeah. Now, maybe he delegated that to Chong. I don't know. He refused to throw him under the bus in his interview with Laura Ingraham. But we'll find out. But Elon Musk is going to know. Elon Musk is on it and is looking into it. And Elon Musk, you're like, Tom, you just think Elon's the greatest. Yeah, I do. I think he's the greatest right now. He is great. He's going to find out. He's going to know. All right. New, the Waltz insists I wasn't talking to Goldberg. A U.S. intel official told me Waltz. Now, Paul Sperry is as good as it gets, just so you know. As good as it gets. Alex Jones level, as good as it gets. Bannon level, that good. A U.S. intel official told me Waltz was a source for Goldberg while on HPSCI. There's no need for an investigation to figure out how he was added to the chat. Goldberg was in his address book because he's been talking to him. Quote from the intel source. So have we found our mole? I don't know. Because here's the thing, and Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, and I mean seriously. Mm-hmm. In order for him to add him to the chat, he had to have him on his phone.
Correct.
Because he was invited by Waltz.
Correct.
It wasn't Goldberg calling Waltz.
No.
He was added by Waltz. And in order for that to occur, he had to be on his phone. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we said last night, again, is that he had him in his phone. He said, oh, no, I added somebody else, and for some reason, somebody else's number was on this person's name, and it was wrong. No, you had him in your phone, and you added him purposefully or non-purposefully into that group chat.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the only way is if you're putting a bunch of acronyms on your phone, like if I go, if I have Will on as WG and Aaron as AY, and that's how you do it, and then I can see the answer would be, I misread the JB for a JD. But what Aaron said was absolutely correct. There is no like, what was that? What did he say, Aaron? What did he say happened, Aaron? Like he missed.
He tried to add a certain person. And he clicked on it.
And he clicked on it.
But it was the wrong number.
There's no wrong number. It could be the wrong acronym. That could have happened. And listen, I like Mike Waltz. He's from Florida. I like him. I hope it's not true. But he says he doesn't know Goldberg, but he has him on his phone. Okay, I can flat out tell you everybody on my phone outside of certain sheriff's office personnel, because I still have all of my numbers from the sheriff's office. I know everybody that I've added to my phone. Every person that's on his phone, he added. Unless somebody, when somehow or another, and this may not be technologically possible either, because they put Signal on all the government phones now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to deep dive into that in just a second. Should it be? Is there controversy involved with how Signal is used and how effective it is and actually in its encryption? Yeah. Go to the next one for me. Anna Bauer tweet. Michael Waltz claimed that he's never met, don't know, never communicated with Jeffrey Goldberg, but here's a photo of Walt standing next to Goldberg during a 2021 event at the French Embassy. The event Waltz attended, a Q&A with French filmmaker, was moderated by Goldberg. So you attended an event moderated by the person you never met? And you have him on your phone, but you've never met him and never talked to him, but there you are standing right next to him at an event he moderated that you went to? Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're going to an event like that and you're at the level of Mike Waltz and Jeffrey Goldberg, you're going to talk, especially when the moderator is Jeffrey Goldberg. So you know what? This needs to be looked into. All right, let's switch over to NPR. You're like, what does NPR have to do with Signal, Tom? I'm going to show you. I had these NPR earrings today, and by the way, they were delicious. Absolutely, absolutely delicious. Aaron, side by side this. Just a pic of that lady. This is Catherine Maurer. This is the head of NPR, National Public Radio, and what Trump is trying to do is dump their funding, which we should, because they're nothing more than a government-subsidized CNN, whose employees, 87 out of 87, are Democrats. So let's look at this now. Canico, the great video, minute 20-second video. Rep Jim Jordan, is NPR biased? Play it for me.
A former senior business editor for NPR.
How long do you work at NPR?
I believe he was there just over 25 years.
25 years? Award-winning journalist? Did he win any awards?
Our time to
talk about Peabody Award, that's pretty important, isn't it?
That is, absolutely.
So pretty distinguished journalist, right?
Certainly.
And he wrote a long story about what you do at NPR. Is NPR biased?
Congressman, I have never seen any instance of political bias determining editorial decisions. No.
Well, Mr. Berliner, in his story last year, wrote, "I've in the D.C. area editorial positions at NPR." He said he found 87 registered Democrats, 0 Republicans. Is that accurate?
We do not track the numbers or the voter registration, but I find that
concerning. Was award-winning journalist who worked 25 years at NPR, Mr. Berliner, was he lying when he wrote that?
I am not presuming such. I just don't have, we don't track that information about our journalists.
87 to 0, and you're not biased?
I think that is concerning if those numbers are accurate.
It's concerning. I mean, it wasn't 44-43. It wasn't 60-27. It wasn't 70-17. It wasn't even 80-7. It was 87 Democrats, 0 Republicans, and you say NPR is not biased.
87 out of 87 employees are Democrats, and she's never seen them make a biased editorial decision. See, one, and again, she's bold-faced lying, but also she's brainwashed, because once you live in a bubble like that, insulated bubble like that, everything you have these little minor disagreements as a leftist. Like I would, like a leftist says, I want to be able to kill babies 28 days after they're born. No, we should only be able to kill babies 7 days after they're born. And that's the only, so, and then they say, okay, let's agree on 15. See how unbiased we are? But it was all those decisions were made under the umbrella of leftism. That's how they become absolutely delusional human beings inside of D.C. And that's how Republicans end up being swept up into it, too, if they weren't that way when they already got there. All right, so here's Burchett's shot at Catherine Maurer. Tim Burchett, Ian Miles Chong video, takes NPR CEO Catherine Maurer to task. Play for me.
Failed to do that. Let me ask you, why did you call President Trump a fascist and a deranged racist sociopath in 2020?
Congressman, I appreciate the opportunity to address this. I regret those tweets. I would not tweet them again today. They represented a time where I was reflecting on something that I believe that the president had said rather than who he is. I don't presume that anyone is a racist.
Would you don't believe anyone is a racist?
I don't start by presuming anyone is a racist.
So you're in that statement was made less than 5 years ago. Why did you call President Trump a fascist? Now, this is a person receiving our money. Another basically NGO, NPR, even though they're a government entity. It's another post office. They work real well too, don't they? So they work, but post office so piss poor that they've actually been a vehicle of many other, been a launching pad for many other companies to, like, whether it's Amazon, whether it's UPS, FedEx. They're so horrible at their job that they've actually been a launching pad for private business. And NPR is no different, of course. So why did you call President Trump a fascist and a deranged racist sociopath? Oh, I don't feel that way anymore. What changed in 4 years? Okay, because I think, okay, right. I believe AOC, Bernie Sanders, Maxine Waters, Chuck Schumer, anybody you could name that's on the Hill. I believe they are, quote, fascist and deranged racist sociopaths. I do. I'm not walking that back. I felt that way for the last 10 years. About all of them. I'm not walking. Why would she suddenly be walking back? Because you're dealing with tens of millions of dollars that she wants to flow into NPR so she can continue being a Goebbels propagandist machine for the globalist left. 87 out of 87 of her employees are Democrats, but they make all unbiased, nonpartisan decisions. So Gunther Eagleman, okay, this longer video is 3 minutes long, but I have to play it because I'm telling you right now, this is the best video, the best sort of, I'm going to try to frame it because it's not the best in some ways, but this is the best informative attack video that I've seen this year. Awesome freaking job by Rep. Brandon Gill. Gunther Eagleman video going after Catherine Maurer. Play for me.
Ms. Maurer, I want to start with you. Just generally, would you say you generally agree or disagree with the following statement? The history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles?
I would not say I agree with that, sir.
You're not. That's good to hear. It's interesting because a lot of your thinking, as expressed by your public statements, is deeply infused with economic and cultural Marxism. Do you believe that America is addicted to white supremacy?
I believe that I tweeted that, and I, as I've said earlier, I believe much of my thinking has evolved over the last half decade.
It has evolved. Why did you tweet that?
I don't recall the exact context, sir, so I wouldn't be able to say.
Okay. Do you believe that America believes in black plunder and white democracy?
I don't believe that, sir.
You tweeted that in reference to a book you were reading at the time, apparently, The Case for Reparations.
I don't think I've ever read that book, sir.
You tweeted about it. You said you took a day off to fully read The Case for Reparations. You put that on Twitter in January of 2020.
I apologize. I don't recall that I did.
Okay.
No doubt that your tweet there is correct, but I don't recall that.
Okay. Do you believe that white people inherently feel superior to other races?
I do not.
You don't? You tweeted something to that effect. You said, I grew up feeling superior. Ha, how white of me. Why did you tweet that?
I think I was probably reflecting on what it was to grow up in an environment where I had lots of advantages.
It sounds like you're saying that white people feel superior.
I don't believe that anybody feels that way, sir. I was just reflecting on my own experiences.
Do you think that white people should pay reparations?
I have never said that, sir.
Yes, you did. You said it in January of 2020. You tweeted, yes, the North, yes, all of us, yes, America, yes, our original collective sin and unpaid debt, yes, reparations, yes, on this day.
I don't believe that was a reference to fiscal reparations, sir.
What kind of reparations was it a reference to?
I think it was just a reference to the idea that we all owe much to the people who came before us.
That's a bizarre way to frame what you tweeted. Okay, how much reparations have you personally paid?
Sir, I don't believe that I've ever paid reparations.
Okay, just for everybody else.
I'm not asking anyone
to pay
reparations.
Seems to be what you're suggesting.
Sir.
Do you believe that looting is morally wrong?
I believe that looting is illegal, and I refer to it as counterproductive. I think it should be prosecuted.
Do you believe it's morally wrong, though?
Of course.
Of course. Then why did you refer to it as counterproductive? It's a very different way to describe it.
It is both morally wrong and counterproductive, as well as being
illegal. You tweeted,
illegal.
It's hard to be mad about protests in reference to the BLM protests, not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression. You didn't condemn the looting. You said that it was counterproductive. NPR also promoted a book called In Defense of Looting. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I'm unfamiliar with that book, sir, and I don't believe that was at my
time at
NPR.
You tweeted that you read that book, but...
I don't believe that I did read that book, sir.
Our taxpayer dollars, which goes to NPR. NPR promoted a book titled In Defense of Looting. Not indefensible looting. In defense of looting. You and I pay for that. Out of the 78 out of 78 people that work at NPR for that lady. Okay. Her name keeps slipping my mind. Catherine Maurer. You and I send them our tax dollars. $36.7 trillion in debt right now. Goes to things like that where they can promote a book called In Defense of Looting. That was one of the most brilliant political takedowns I have ever seen. And why do you admire it so much? You're like, Tom, get past it. It's 10:08. I know. But the reason why I admire it is because I couldn't pull it off. That's why. I'd be screaming at the lady. I mean, I'd put out the same info, but it would be drowned out. Aaron would do that. Aaron would sit there and smile and laugh at her. Aaron could pull it off. I can't.
I'd love to.
Yeah, Aaron can pull that stuff off. He either just blows people off and is dismissive, but I'd be screaming, okay? I really admire that, because if you do get to where I would be doing that, it would blow it up. The way that, because it would be just a giant explosion. With him, it was a surgical, absolute destruction of that woman. Are you for reparations? No, I'm not for. Well, here you tweeted that you were. Are you for looting? No, I'm not for looting. Well, here's, you tweeted that you were. I mean, over and over and over again. I couldn't pull it off because everyone would. I'd be getting hotter and hotter.
You're for looting.
You are for looting.
Liar.
Liar.
100%.
I'd be quoting scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, all over it. I'd be like, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. Not beholden to this, but there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies, and you follow that guy. Well, you'd be calm when you said it, if you said it. But anyway, let's go to the next one. Kyle Becker, great takedown right here. Great takedown. So in December, you're like, Tom, what are, you're showing this NPR stuff. What on earth does that have to do with the Signal chat, Signal thread? Here it is. So in December, Kyle Becker, got to follow this guy on Twitter. So good. So in December 2024, 1 month before the Trump administration was set to come into office, the cybersecurity infrastructure, cyber and infrastructure security administration, can't stand that stuff, CISA, issued guidance. Get this now, December 2024, Trump's already been elected president but hasn't taken office yet. 1 month, 1 month before the Trump administration was set to come into office, CISA issued guidance. No guidance for 4 years, but 1 month before Trump takes office, they issue guidance. The Biden administration so cared about the incoming Trump administration that they wanted to guide them. That's like thinking that a Nazi soldier is guiding you on a tour through the gas chambers. The Biden administration directed government officials to use end-to-end communications like Signal. The Biden administration directed government officials to use end-to-end communications like Signal, as well as password managers. Didn't do it for 4 years, but instituted it right before Trump took office so that there could be breaches like we just had. Security experts better review all CISA security directives in the last weeks of the Biden administration and consider moving away from Signal. This reeks of a setup. Of course it is. Of course it's a setup. Why would they not give two craps about Signal for 4 years and then institutionalize it right before Trump takes office? Because somebody has got access to something inside of Signal that enables these people, maybe, because maybe Mike Waltz isn't at fault. You're like, you attacked him earlier. We need to look at all angles, folks. Let's not be sycophants. We need to look at all angles. Maybe it was hacked. Certainly, everybody knows that all of our communications have been recorded by the NSA for the last 30 years, right? It's had to be admitted to and was exposed by a White House coming out of the NSA after Clapper lied about it under oath and was never prosecuted for it. It's a felony, so it shouldn't be, the statute of limitations should still allow us to prosecute Clapper. I'm not sure on that. All right, let's go to the next one. Kyle, this is a subtweet, or the part of the thread. Kyle Becker, moreover, a memo in 2023 obtained by, what did NPR have to do with it? NPR warned of using Signal for any non-public official information. So how would NPR get this information? Oh, Catherine Maurer serves as the chief of the Signal Foundation's board of directors and is the CEO of NPR. This is one giant, incestuous, one branch family tree. Did everybody see this? Catherine Maurer serves as a chair on Signal's foundation, and Signal was mandated by the Biden administration right before they left. And of course, she's running the Goebbels propagandist NPR machine that has 78 out of 78 employees are Democrats. It's all tied together. They all know each other. Listen, you want to know more about CISA? Cybersecurity, infrastructure security. I mean, can it not be redundant in your stupid names? Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Why can't you be Cyber and Infrastructure Security Agency? So here, Real America's Voice, Mike Benz, CISA is one of the most corrupt institutions. It was created as a political accident. Play it for me.
CISA is one of the most corrupt institutions in its infant history. It was only created in late 2018, basically just in time for the 2018 midterms. It was created as a sort of political accident because of the intensity of Russiagate and the idea that we needed to secure our cyber systems against Russian hacking of the DNC type events, which turned out to not even necessarily be, I'll be charitable and say it was, at best, it's unsubstantiated. At worst, it's the opposite of what happened. But the fact is CISA is a laundromat for rogue actors in the CIA and NSA to get domestic jurisdiction for black ops. And very quickly, it was only born again in 2018. And by mid-2020, they had already seized long-arm jurisdiction over all opinions on the entire internet by U.S. citizens, by mission creeping their way from saying that cyber threats, cybersecurity has to cover tweets containing misinformation or disinformation or malinformation, true facts that simply lead people to a misleading conclusion. Because tweets on the internet containing misinformation or YouTube videos or Facebook posts undermine public faith and confidence in our democratic institutions, which are required for a healthy democracy. And so it's really, if you tweet that Trump is innocent of Russiagate, then you are committing a cyber attack on the integrity of the Justice Department, which is a hallowed institution of our democracy. And so it needs to be censored by our cybersecurity agency. This is the sort of thing that the CIA and NSA would not be able to get away with because they're not allowed to target domestically. But if you take a bunch of rogue hackers and rogue black ops planners from CIA or from NSA and you park them at DHS, suddenly everyone from coast to coast becomes a fair game target as long as they are allowed to operate. This is not some hallowed institution that's been around for 250 years like the State Department or like the Defense Department itself. It is a brand new baby, and it has been a twisted little sister from the day it was born. This thing needs to go back in the box, and if they want to continue to have some domestic role in cybersecurity, they should put their names in a resume and apply for it or apply for themselves in a brand new congressional vote and see if that holds up in a Democratic vote at that point. But for now, the first step is saying sayonara to censorship.
All right, Aaron, leave that information up for me. I want to get to that. But this is what happens. CIA cannot operate domestically. So instead, you take NSA hackers, CIA hackers, and as Mike Benn said, you park them at CISA. So now they can do it, and they're still a CIA cutout or an NSA cutout, but they're not part of the NSA. So they have plausible deniability. That's what they do. Or you park them at an NGO called the National Endowment for Democracy. That's what you do. You park them at the NGO who Bossberg's daughter works at, or the NGO that Bossberg's wife works at, who then Bossberg makes life and death, imprisonment or non-imprisonment decisions every day for Republicans. And by the way, the creator of Signal, Aaron found this. This name is the name, believe it or not. Moxie Marlin Spike.
It's true.
It can't be a real name. I mean, it's his name, but I mean, that could not be. Nobody had that baby and said, let's name our baby Moxie Marlin Spike. Somebody did. But that's the creator of Signal. Worked with, let's just guess, shall we? WhatsApp, Facebook, and Google to integrate Signal protocol into their messaging services. Everything is married together against us. That's why you always fight against the system. You don't fight for it. You don't capitulate to it. You fight against it because it's corrupt. It's called the spirit of the world. Put the next one up for me, Will. Let me show you this just so everybody knows we're winning. Breaking, look at the date. This was probably taken before Signalgate, but anyway. Breaking, America's approval of the Democratic Party is currently at 26%, according to Rasmussen. Doesn't get any better than that for us. Let me show you this. Go to the next one for me. Well, Adam Hughes' video. Look at what happened here. This is in the South Carolina House. Political violence. Democrats are resorting to violence more and more. Play it for me.
The noes prevail. House Bill 1392 fails. No, sir. 5-minute recess.
I wanted to show you those things because this is what's happening. It's amping up more and more. They're perfectly happy with firebombing Tesla station. Perfectly happy. They're laughing about it on Stephen Colbert, on Jimmy Kimmel, laughing about it on The Daily Show, whatever that's called. Laughing about it. No problem whatsoever. Firebombing Tesla stations. They're getting violent. And then they claim that we are the party of violence when we never do anything. We never firebomb anybody. We don't do anything. We don't do anything. Show me any video of any Republican being violent. They'll always throw down 1-6. But we all know we can't dive deep dive into that right now, but that's all crap too. Let me show you. Let me just do a little Jasmine Crockett expose here for just a second. Chicago run one Ray video. Breaking, assault charges have been filed. Well, now they're not. I don't know if they're actual assault charges have been filed. There's been a ethics violation filing against Jasmine Crockett. But here, at Chicago one Ray video, breaking assault charges have been filed on Jasmine Crockett. For what? Here it is. Play for me.
Hello, Congresswoman.
Horse manure. Well, that sounds like fun.
Wait, Congresswoman Crockett.
But it sounds.
Congresswoman Crockett, you were recently on a Tesla takedown call, yeah, well, calling for violence on a 29.
Right?
Would you like to clarify your comments?
As you can see.
Congresswoman, no, will you condone violence at the Tesla?
I just left the Office of Congressional Ethics. I just filed an ethics complaint against the esteemed Rep. Jasmine Crockett for assaulting me, and I guess you could say, more importantly, violating my First Amendment rights, because that's what she did. You know, I really wasn't gonna file an ethics complaint against Texas's esteemed Congresswoman until it was brought to my attention this morning that Rep. Crockett is running around the halls of Congress right behind me like she's some victim. You won't believe this, but maybe you will, because this town is crazy. Rep. Crockett is running around with extra United States Capitol Police security paid for by you, the taxpayers. So let's get this straight.
All right, so Nick Sorter video. So she assaults him. She assaults him, and then she gets extra security. After, did he do anything to her? You saw the video, played it right there. There it is. That's the truth. The eye in the sky. It do not lie. He didn't do anything to her. She's the one who pushed or smacked his phone away. So he's filed an ethics complaint against her. And here's the response in the halls of Congress. Play it for me.
Hey, Congresswoman, do you regret your earlier comments you made about Governor Greg Abbott?
This guy walks up. What are you defending her with? The guy, I mean, again, I was a cop for 25 years. To act like that, what are you even moving towards the reporter for? She's the only violent one that there is. She's the one who touched the reporter. The reporter never touched her, and now she gets extra security. The person should be getting extra security. They should be assigning Capitol Police to reporters to protect the reporters from Jasmine Crockett. And listen, look at her behavior today on the House floor. Davery Dawkins video, play for me.
They don't care about emergency management and they don't care about free speech, all of which are harming American people. In fact, I'm gonna skip off real quick because they have tried to come for you, Ms. Mayor. And I just wanna clarify, you did not work for NPR when those statements were made, did you?
That is correct, Madam.
And to be clear, free speech is not about whatever it is that y'all want somebody to say. And the idea that you want to shut down everybody that is not Fox News is bullshit. We need to stop playing because that's what y'all are doing in here.
What a classy person. What a classy human being she is. Would everybody agree? And I'm going to skip off. Hey, I'm going to do that right now. Everybody, that's the end of the show, by the way. I'm going to skip off. How about if I start acting like that? I'd be arrested for cultural appropriation. All right, that's good. 1023. Appreciate you guys. And the Rumble Rant tonight, Nate Dad, $50. Mark, $10.69, $20. JD Wool, $20. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys for being here. I appreciate each and every one of you. Like and share. Do me a favor. Like and share, like and share, like and share. Just broke 5,700 followers on Twitter. Let's get me to 6,000. Let's get to 6,000 at least. Maybe in the... Before summer, let's add 300 people. Like and share. I know I'm very offensive, but your friends will still either love it or hate it. So just roll the dice and share it. Share the podcast to as many people as you can. Go over to Twitter and follow me on Twitter if you can. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Love everybody in the chat too. Back here tomorrow night, as always, with all the other stuff I didn't get to and all the new stuff that'll happen between now and then. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.